Welcome, everyone. We're going to open the March 1st Selectmen's meeting. First order of business tonight, we're going to have a presentation about the Northern Pass. It'll be about a 20-minute presentation, and then we will take questions, but we'll direct the questions through the board, if you would please. So, you folks, all set?
Sure. Good evening. My name is Sue Longenberg, and I'm the Community Relations Manager for PSNH. Oh, no, thank you for allowing us time this evening on the agenda to talk to you about the Northern Pass project. With me this evening is Kathleen Pocket from the Communication Team for Northern Pass, and Brian Wassey, who is the Project Manager for the Northern Pass project. And they're going to share during the presentation, so I'm going to introduce Kathleen to the first part.
Thanks very much. So,
can everybody hear me all right? Hopefully I don't talk that loud, so please raise your hand in the back if you can't hear me. Again, I'm Kathleen Brockett, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here to talk with you about the Northern Pass project. I'm sure you've heard a lot about it. There's been a lot of publicity information in the newspapers, so we're very happy to be able to talk with you about the project, what it means for New Hampshire, and what it means for Chichester. As Sue said, I'm going to talk about it from an overview and talk about the project in general, what it means to New Hampshire, talk about a little bit of the benefits, and then I'll turn it over to Brian, and he will talk about the routing that's been proposed for the project, as well as what it means for Chichester. Again, we're going to have questions at the end, so if you would please just hold your questions until we get finished. I want to note that the timeline for the project is very, very important, because just recently, within the last couple of weeks, the Department of Energy, that is a major federal agency responsible for permitting of this project, announced scoping meetings, public scoping meetings. We will have some information on that, but we definitely encourage everybody to participate in those scoping meetings as a way to voice your opinions and your comments and learn about the project. So we'll finish talking about the timeline and what it means for public participation. So very, very briefly, what is the Northern Pass? Well, the Northern Pass is a transmission project. It's a proposed project that would bring 1,200 megawatts of clean energy, primarily hydro power, from Quebec into New Hampshire and New England. You might say, well, what is 1,200 megawatts in the scheme of things? 1,200 megawatts represents about 5% of the New England area electricity needs. Equating that to homes, it's about a million homes, providing electricity for about a million homes. In New Hampshire, there are about 500,000 homes. So that gives you an idea of the size of this project. It is a transmission project that will not add any transmission charges to your electric bill. This is different than most transmission projects, which are done to improve the reliability of the system. And those transmission projects are shared. The cost of those are shared by all customers. Whereas this project is what we call participant funded, which means the participants are funding it, so the transmission charge is not reflected on your electric bills. Who are the participants? Major participant, Northern Pass Transmission, LLC, which is a partnership, a company formed between Northeast Utilities, and recall Northeast Utilities is PSNH's parent company, and then NSTAR. So that's Northern Pass Transmission, LLC, and the other participant is Hydro Renewable Energy, Inc., which we refer to as Hydro Quebec. Obviously, why the Northern Pass? Why now? What do we need this project? We often get asked, don't we have enough electricity? Why are we embarking on this project now? A number of really good reasons. First of all, it is going to bring 1,200 megawatts of clean energy at competitive prices, which means it's going to save New Hampshire residents $20 to $35 million annually in electricity costs. So it definitely is going to help to lower electricity prices in a time when we're all concerned about what we're paying for our energy. It's renewable energy. Hydro is considered renewable without the subsidies. Oftentimes wind, solar, other forms of renewable energy, because of the cost, they require a subsidy, a premium, in other words, in order to obtain them. That's not true for this project. It continues Northeast Utilities and Public Service Company of New Hampshire's commitment to its customers to find low-cost, clean energy. And lastly, this is a significant effort to further a cleaner energy for New Hampshire. You know, in the last 5 to 8 years or so, New Hampshire and the region has really established some new goals when it comes to clean energy and energy policies. And these policies are moving us into a new fundamental change in how we use energy and how we generate energy. There definitely is much more of a focus on renewables and on energy efficiency, and investments are being made to develop energy efficiency projects as well as to promote renewables. So this definitely is a project that supports and enhances those clean energy goals. You know, one of the challenges with any energy project, whether it's wind or solar or biomass, is a challenge of getting the energy from where it's generated to where it's used. And that's where transmission lines come in. You can't generate energy without having a means to get it out to all of its users. And that's exactly what this project does. It is a project that will bring and allow this clean energy to get into New Hampshire and New England. Relative to its benefits, and any energy project has great benefits as well as challenges. The benefits to this project are huge to New Hampshire as a whole. Everybody has a stake in gaining something from this project. Relative to the economics, it's a $1.1 billion investment in New Hampshire. It's going to mean new jobs during the 3-year construction phase, certainly. And it's estimated that it's going to result in about 1,200 new jobs per year over the 3 years of construction. Preference will be given to local labor, as well as we see this as enhancing all of the amenities in the communities where this project is going to occur. Relative to economic development, because of the needs that this project will bring to New Hampshire in materials, siting, site development, a number of different things, we're going to see economic development increase by around $300 million, again, as a result of developing this project. And lastly, it's going to bring new tax revenues to the communities that host the project. For every mile of transmission line, that will add $2.5 million to a community's tax base. So it means about $22 to $27 million in new local, state, and county taxes for New Hampshire at a time when we're all looking for ways to generate revenue. The breakdown in terms of the taxes, most will be the local, about $13 to $7 million in local taxes. Then the state taxes will be about $7 to $7.5 million, and then county taxes are about $2.2 to $2.7 million. So economically, it has a lot to offer. Relative to our use of electricity and the cost, there's really something in this for everybody in terms of reducing costs. Certainly for PS&H customers, PS&H is negotiating a long-term, hopefully about a 40-year contract to get some of this electricity to lower costs for PS&H customers. But for everybody in the region, because this electricity is going to be going into the region as well as to New Hampshire, it will lower the cost for all users in the New England area by about $200 to $300 million a year, and that's where it equates to about $20 to $35 million for New Hampshire customers. So, you know, this energy that's going into the New England pool is going in to compete with all other forms of energy, from coal, from oil, from gas, and because this is so economically and competitively priced, it will hopefully displace more expensive fuel use and lower costs for everybody in the region. A couple of other benefits: resource diversity is important. We don't want to depend on one type of energy, because if that energy is at risk, then we lose our source of energy. This will add to the rest of our energy mix in New Hampshire and in New England, guards against fuel shortages, and guards against price volatility, the ups and downs. reduces greenhouse gases. We mentioned early on the environmental benefits and clean air goals in New Hampshire relative to energy use. The state, several years ago, developed a New Hampshire Climate Action Plan that sets a goal of reducing greenhouse gases by 80% by the year 2050. That's a pretty lofty goal. This form of energy, because it's renewable and does not depend on fossil fuels, will help to achieve that goal. As a matter of fact, this project is specifically listed in the New Hampshire Climate Action Plan as one of the 67 actions to get us to a cleaner energy future. And lastly, this is a renewable form of energy, but it will not compete with other renewable development in New Hampshire. It will not displace or compete with the development of wind or solar. It simply will add to that mix and support it, because sources like wind and solar are intermittent. They depend on the sun and they depend on wind. We need another energy base that is more reliable in order to complement the development of those. And now I'm going to turn it over to Brian, who's going to talk about the details of the project, what it means for Chichester.
Thank you. First, I want to talk about what is the project. There are three main components of Northern Pass in New Hampshire. The first is the direct current DC line that would start at the Canadian border and go down to Franklin. The second major component is the converter terminal. That is a very large facility that transforms the DC energy into an AC energy. Once the conversion takes place in Franklin, there would be a transmission line approximately 40 miles long that would interconnect the converter terminal and the AC source and bring it to Deerfield. So essentially, at Deerfield substation is where the AC energy would be connected into the transmission network. The existing Deerfield substation has multiple lines that interconnect with other substations in New Hampshire. So that's how the energy gets from the source in Canada to the electrical system in New England. Here is a routing in the state, and the goals of the project were to utilize existing transmission right-of-way to the greatest extent possible. I'm hoping you can see the pointer here. From a point in Northumberland North, there was not existing transmission right-of-way. That was 40 miles approximately new right-of-way. From this point south, you see the yellowish line is the existing transmission corridor over to Deerfield. And along the route, there were locations where alternative routes were identified. I'll just give you an example of one. The White Mountain National Forest is generally in this area. This is a 53-mile bypass of the National Forest. And we showed that as an alternative, but through our evaluation of all the routing issues, you know, it makes sense to stay within the existing right-of-way. I have a better shot of the Concord area because this is the location where I think there, obviously Chichester is, that would identify in greater detail some of the alternatives that were looked at as part of the project. As part of the project, there were hundreds of potential routes that were evaluated to find the least impactful location. And we do realize that as this project moves forward, there are many, many opportunities through the permitting process that there may be parts of this route that may change based upon the public participation. So here is where I want to go slow, because there may be some confusion as to what was put out originally in the Department of Energy filing and where we are now with the route in this area. So I'm going to talk from this slide, but the next one is a map that I think will really identify where we are in this area. The preliminary preferred route is the route that was identified by Northern Pass that we identified as the best location to put this line. In the original Department of Energy filing, the proposed route was in Chichester, and that was done because the existing constraints adjacent to the Concord Airport were not known at that time. We've been working on that since that point. We also identified that and have indicated this in an addendum to the Department of Energy that the desired route is the existing right-of-way in Concord and Pembroke, not the route that was first identified through Chichester. The obstruction evaluations are what help to identify what can and can't be done in the existing right-of-way. When we were in Pembroke probably 6 weeks ago, we identified that they're called obstruction evaluations. Those had been submitted, and I'll show you some of the points in a second. In the vicinity of the Concord Airport, probably north of 393 down to where it starts to head into Pembroke. Earlier this month, we did get a portion of those. We got them all in, and when I get to the slide, I'll tell you some of the results that we found. But we are ongoing working with the FAA because of the data that we received. We still need to move forward and analyze a few of the locations even more. And as I indicated earlier, an addendum was filed with the DOE, which does identify the Concord Airport existing route as our preferred location. All right. Let me get everyone grounded. There's a lot of stuff up there. 393, the mall is right about here.